widely associated Christmas gifts. You'll see, even if you go to the mall or whatever, you see Santa, and of course there's the big tree and all the gifts underneath the tree. And remember back when you were kids, some of us that are older that have a little bit of time going, or a little bit of trouble going back that far, you know, but remember how it was that you wanted a gift so bad? Remember those Christmases where or birthdays or whatever it was, you know, a graduation present? You just thought maybe if it was a graduation gift, you were looking forward to that first car maybe. Or if, you know, if you had a parent, my mother was, you know, hey, here's $5, go have fun. But remember how those times were in our lives, how we just longed for that gift. And the title of my message today is The Lasting Legacy of the Lending from a Longed-For Gift. Go ahead, try to say that really fast. The Lasting Legacy of the Lending from a Longed-For Gift. You know, we hope and we pray sometimes for that specific gift, and that longing just stirs up within us. We really want it really, really bad, and sometimes we spent months agonizing over it. You know, you might have taken, I don't know, kids today don't, any kids know what a catalog is? Paper, you know, that's the stuff they make from trees. You know, remember us older folks, you might say, well, he didn't look down. I'm 45 years old, which is kind of old for a first-term missionary, but I feel a lot older sometimes. We would take those pages out of a catalog, and you'd look through and say, you'd circle it, oh, I'm going to get this. And you might leave it in a strategic place, like on Dad's plate at dinner time. You know, this is what I want for Christmas. And, you know, you did it, whatever you could to get that, to get the message out that this is what you were hoping for. And, you know, maybe it was a bike. Or maybe it was a doll for the ladies, or a video game today, kids, or a phone, or the DS, or the PlayStation. I read PlayStation 4 will be coming out soon to the tune of $430, parents. So there we go. We know it's coming up next year, right? So we just knew that we wanted to find that gift underneath the tree, or on the table at birthday time, whatever it was, that morning or whatever. We just knew we wanted to have it. And maybe you promised God or your parents or something that you vowed a vow that you would do something to get that gift. Remember that? You know, you might say, kids, I promise I'll eat all my veggies, Mom, if you hear what I want for Christmas, and I promise I won't put any beans on my nose or whatever. You know, or you promised that you would do something good, and maybe, girls, you said you would brush your teeth every day, or something. I'm just kidding. If you give me that, I promise I brush them every day. I'll even brush them twice. You know, but we vowed vows, and maybe it was I'll be good, or God, if you give me what I'm looking for, God, if you give me what the desire of my heart, I promise I'll do something good with it. And as Christmas neared, your focus and your desire, it kind of got boiled down and concentrated. It just kept intensifying. All you knew was that life just wasn't going to be right unless you got that gift. That Christmas morning, you come tearing downstairs. It had to be there. Remember that movie that's so popular now, Christmas Story? Ralphie comes in. What does he want? The Red Ryder BB gun, right? He just knew every little thing about Christmas was about that BB gun. And you know, he was kind of disappointed when he didn't find it there, and Dad had tucked it away in the corner, you know, and that made everything just came together that Christmas for him. It just lived in his mind and his memory for all of his life. Now think back to those Christmases after you got that gift. The joy of finding that shiny new whatever it was, you know, if it was the Betsy Wetsy doll, you know, or the bike or whatever, you know. You felt that great pride in getting it and that joy. Remember, guys, when we got the bike or the new car or whatever, nobody could even touch it. You know, the tires got dirty. You were wiping the dirt off. Or girls, maybe, you know, that doll. Nobody could. You were its mommy. You know, you were that baby's mommy. You had to take care of it. And she got tucked in at night in the little thing or whatever. You took care of it. And guys, I hope you were treating your things well and taking care of whatever those, I guess you shine your iPod. Or whatever, you know, I don't know. But there was no fingerprints and there was no scratches. No one was allowed to touch it. It was yours. At least that's the way it was for a few weeks or a few months. Or maybe it lasted on a little longer. But, you know, maybe after the shine wore off and the newness of it wore off, it wasn't as important as you thought it had been leading up until that time when you got it. What about those vows that you made? About not putting any beans up your nose, you know? those things that you said that you would do if somebody gave it to you, those started to go out too, didn't they? They started to fade away. Maybe that gift that had brought so much joy in the beginning, it got put aside and forgotten. The truth of the matter is this, that we've all done that with our gifts in our lives, haven't we? We've all done, whether it was a Christmas or a birthday gift or something even as precious as the gift of salvation. Sometimes we've even set that aside, the newness of it, the joy that it had once given us. It's not so much where it was once before, where it ought to be each and every day. Our attention turns to something else and hoping that we might find that feeling once again. You know, I believe we can have lasting joy and happiness in using the gifts, physical or spiritual, God gives us by putting them to use for His purposes. Amen. I spoke in Sunday school about the gift that God has given us to go reach the people of Greece with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It truly is a gift. You know, most people will say, I want to go. You can't go. God gave us a unique gift. It's my gift. It's through the gift of my wife, and she is my gift. And my second greatest gift I'll ever know is my wife. But the first one being salvation. But the one thing we have to ask ourselves is, are we willing to desire what God desires for us to do with what He's given us for His purposes and for His glory when He allows us the privilege and blessing of receiving it? And everything He gives us is exactly that. It's a privilege and it's a blessing because, folks, we don't deserve anything but death and hell. And it's by God's grace that He gives us anything. You woke up today. Praise the Lord, you woke up. But you woke up in America. And you woke up to hopefully a warm house. And you got in a nice car. And you had a good breakfast. And you're going to go out to a good lunch maybe afterwards. Folks, we got it good. There's people the world over that can't claim even one of those things. They didn't wake up with heat this morning. They didn't wake up. They woke up in a mud hut. I've been in some of those places. I've seen little children flock to get a cup of cold oatmeal because that was the only thing that they were going to get to eat that day. It'll break your heart. We're a blessed people. What are we doing with what God is giving to us? And I think one of the greatest examples of someone who desired a great gift and used it for the glory of the Lord was the mother of the prophet Samuel. Her name was Hannah. If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, you know, this is a familiar account of Scripture for many of us. And we find Hannah doing something many of us have done. And when we still want something, we still do it. We long for that. We long for it. Look, well, before I get started, why don't we stop and ask the Lord to bless our time and bless His word to our hearts, shall we? God, I thank You for this time. I thank You for this church. God, and we pray that You would use Your word to perform the spiritual surgery in our hearts, Lord, to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might serve and honor You all the days of our lives, Lord, by using what You've given us for Your glory. God, I pray for the one who might be here today that doesn't know You as Savior, that today would be the day that they would open their heart and seek Your salvation, God, that You would come in to their lives and change them forever. And Lord, may we be not only hearers of the word, but doers of it also. In Christ's name, amen. So here we see longing. Hannah had passionately desired a child, yet she was barren. We look here in chapter 1, starting in verse 7. It says this, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, that being Peninnah. Therefore she wept and did not eat, that being Hannah. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So we see Hannah was provoked by Elkanah's other wife. We won't get into that whole aspect of the Old Testament economy, how they had multiple wives and things. But, you know, sometimes we get provoked into wanting things, don't we? We certainly do. It just wasn't a one-time thing either for Hannah and Peninnah. The verse says it went on year by year. Verse 7 says year by year. Peninnah provoked her. And how was Hannah's response to that? It was pretty drastic. It says, therefore she wept and did not eat. I mean, have you been so torn up over things in your life that you've openly wept over it and you couldn't even eat because you were desiring something so much? Did we not all get provoked when we were children about what we did or didn't have? Don't we still get provoked today about what we don't have? Amen. So many of us probably after church last Sunday night ran home, put on the TV and watched The Waltons. Ed Sullivan? No, we watch the Super Bowl, right? And they have all those commercials. Some people would rather watch the commercials than the Super Bowl. You know, and that's what they do. But don't advertisers and manufacturers, they design those things to provoke us to want something. They want, they play to our desires with their ads and their commercials. They almost scream out at us, look what you don't have. You need to have this. There was a commercial that I saw right leading into Christmas. It was a car commercial, and it's a guy and his wife in the driveway. It's Christmas morning, and there's this big, beautiful red bow on top of a car, a smart car. It's a go-kart, if you ask me. But he's handing her the keys, a car nonetheless, a brand new car, a guy giving his brand new car to his wife, and he's handing her the keys, and she's all happy, and she turns to hug him, and as she's hugging him, she looks up past his shoulder, and she sees a brand new Buick LaCrosse coming down the street, gleaming in the sun, right? And you can see it in her face. The desire rings up in her heart, and she starts to look out, and he kind of notices something, and he looks over, and he sees it, and he gives her the key again. He's like, and she kind of gives him a half-hearted smile and starts hugging him again, and the car drives down the street, and she's watching it as it goes down the street. That desire, she'd just been given a brand new car. She hadn't even driven it yet, and already the desire was for something else. Right. That fast, right, that desire changes. You know, fortunately, though, Hannah had a pure desire, a pure reason for her desire. Can we say the same thing about our hopes and desires? Are they pure? Are we desiring what God wants in our lives and what we seek in our lives from Him to use it for His glory? Hannah, much like us, she vowed a vow in verse 11 that dealt specifically with the longing of her heart to have a child. It reads here in verse 11, it says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. You know, folks, she prayed specifically for something. It says a man-child. So that what? Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. Hannah's longing was for a gift that would bring her great joy, but it would be a gift that she didn't plan on keeping. Is that how we think about gifts? I mean, kids, when you were asking for your Christmas present, when mom and dad came and said, what do you want for Christmas? Were you thinking about what you were going to get so you could give it away? No. I doubt it. But did any of you think that? I'm getting ahead of myself. But you didn't ask for something so that you could give it right away, right? No, we plan on using it for ourselves. But here Hannah's asking for something very specifically so that she can give it away. That's kind of opposite of how we normally think, isn't it? She promised by faith to allow her gift to be used of God beyond her control, but all the while, it was still exactly what she had asked for. And are we willing to ask God to bless us with gifts that we so long for that we might give them away? Truth is, He has already given us gifts to use for His glory, and hopefully we're giving them away. If you're saved, you once longed for salvation. Somebody gave the gospel to you, and you realized that you needed that, and you wanted it, you desired it. And you asked the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. Now, how are you allowing God to use your salvation? It's a gift. He's given it to you. How are you using it? Maybe you say that God has never really given you a good physical gift to allow you to allow Him to use through you. But have you even received a good gift? How many of us would say with me today, I've gotten at least one good thing in my life? Amen. Remember this. James 1:17 states this. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. No variableness means God gave it to you for a specific purpose. It's not for, you know, to use for this purpose, this for as you feel like. God gave it to you for a reason. Neither shadow of turning. There's going to be an accounting, a stewardship accounting of what He's given to us, what He's given to each and every one of us, how we used it. So what are you longing for today? Are you willing to give it back to God for His glory that you might have the blessing of watching God work beyond your own power? And that's really what it is. That is what Hannah did. She had a longing for a son, but not just for her own good or pleasure. That came from watching what God would do. So Hannah not only longed for a son, but she was willing to lend him to the Lord. Drop down in chapter 1 of verses 27 and 28. It says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord which hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. So Hannah here acknowledges that God has answered her prayer, and then says, "Therefore I have lent him to the Lord." Well, if we back up to verse 11, what did she vow in her vow? "I will give him to the Lord." So we must ask, is there a difference? Is there a difference between giving and lending? Well, I'll put it to you this way. If you walk into a bank and say, "Give me the money," you're going to go out in handcuffs. Okay? If you walk into the bank, by the other token, and say, "Lend me some money," they'll put you in a special kind of handcuffs at the bank, their own handcuffs, and they'll give it a smile on their face, and because don't forget that the borrower is servant to the lender, but they lend with an expectation of getting an increase upon what they've lent, right? So there is a difference between giving and lending, and I believe that difference is that she, here Hannah, promised to give a blessing by faith which she had not yet received. Her gift would be a blessing, and it would be a blessing forever. She treasured it because she knew Samuel was given to her by God. He would always be a blessing. She always had that blessing of having a son. Now she was going to lend him back to the Lord. She got what she asked for. The Lord had given it to her. Now she was willing to lend him back to God. And she would still be blessed by him. And she would still have that increase poured upon her by letting God have the full use of her son. You know, if we give something away, we no longer possess it, but when we lend it, we still retain the ownership of it, don't we? The bank, you could be 59 payments into that car payment. You don't make that 60th payment, they'll come take your car, won't they? They still retain the ownership of it until you pay it in full. But when you pay it off, it's yours. So when it's yours, you can do with it as you please, right? She got something that was given to her, and she was willing to lend it to the Lord with an expectation, knowing that she would see an increase from what she was blessed with, would bless her even more greatly. A blessing now, folks, is a blessing forever. It'll always be a blessing to you. Why should we not give back to God to use what we might, so that we might then reap an even greater blessing? One of the things I've learned from my home pastor is this. He says that a shared blessing is a double blessing, and a shared sorrow is half a sorrow, isn't it? As we share a blessing with somebody, it becomes an even greater blessing. Isn't salvation that way? Jesus called it the living water, and it never runs dry. When we give it away, we never lose that, but we reap a greater blessing and the reward of the one who comes to Christ and those that they may lead to Christ on down the line. And it just keeps increasing. And us as missionaries, you know, we've supported missions since I was saved, and you saw me with the big black pompadour in my video, you know, back when I had real good hair. things change when you get older, folks. I'm just happy for what I got up there. It's great now, but I'm just happy for it. But, you know, we've always loved missions, and we've always wanted, and we've always understood that as we were blessed, we would sow up those blessings. Not that I could have expectation here, that, hey, if I get a blessing from it here, praise the Lord. But my blessing is stored up in heaven. Because that's where the true treasure is. And isn't that how we ought to look at it? Everything that we give back to God? Where's the blessing going? I know I'll find it in heaven by allowing God to use it. When we see somebody, when we share our testimony and we lead somebody to Christ, and that person goes out, leads somebody else, and that person gives their life over to become a preacher or a missionary, an evangelist, and they go out and win countless people to Christ, plant churches. Hey, folks, those blessings are being laid up from heaven. We're all going to meet, Lord willing, people in heaven that are going to come up and say, "Praise God that you gave to missions. Praise God that you witnessed to my sister, who in turn witnessed to me and introduced me to Jesus Christ." You know, those are the blessings I'm talking, those eternal blessings we'll never lose. When we give it away, we never lose it, but we reap the blessings that is salvation, the reward of one who comes to Christ. And then just, again, down the line, if I had $1 million, I could find 1 million people and I could give away $1 million and I would be without. But I can give away the gift of salvation and it never runs dry. I can just keep sharing it's the gift that keeps on giving. Amen? It's specific to me, but it's good for everybody. It's my job, I'm entrusted with it as a steward to give it away. you know, we lend with an expectation of a greater return, as I said. So if God blesses your longing for something, whether it's salvation, maybe it's for that new car. Maybe it's for greater finances. Maybe it's for education or a better job. But how are you going to use it when God blesses you with it? Are you going to use that car maybe to pick up a shut-in who can't otherwise get to church, or to go out on visitation, weekly visitation, or help bring some kids to church that otherwise wouldn't be able to get? Are you going to give a little bit more to missions? Are you going to be able to use that education that you're getting to teach Bible study somewhere in a prison or maybe in Sunday school? How are you going to invest that blessing to be able to reap a blessing and a reward for it later, that God would be glorified? Would you be willing to lend it to God so that he can send missionaries around the world? Or would you be able to use it to see it used even in your own neighborhoods? Not only will you be blessed, will the people in your family, in your neighborhood, and around the world be blessed, but you will have reaped a great harvest on the investment of your gift. And to that end, Hannah began with a longing that secondly led to that lending, but the blessing that endured became her legacy. Chapter 2 states in the beginning, the prayer of Hannah, she rejoices and praises God. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine heart is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." Can you picture her there with the opportunity to... It sounds very much like she's praying in the presence of the one who had provoked her, Peninnah, doesn't it? Talk not so exceedingly proudly. And who is she directing all the praise and honor and glory to? Jesus Christ. Amen. To the Lord, to God. She's pointing it all to God who did everything. The horn that she talks about is symbolic of the strength of God. And she says, it's by God that this happened. She could stand up before Peninnah and say, "I know you've got some kids, but have you seen my boy? Have you seen him? By the way, he is serving the chief priest in the temple." Oh, just by the way. Is that what she did? No. She's using her blessing not only as a blessing to others, but she's also encouraging other people to look to God and say, "Look what God is doing. Look what God has done in my life." You know, she said, you know, this is wonderful. Look what God has done in our family. We ought to put these things behind us and look to praising God for all he's done. That ought to be how we go through folks' life, go through life, folks. When the world is set upon outdoing the other guy, we can stand up and say with the psalmist, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. God did this. Look what he's done here. 40 years, folks. 40 years of God's blessings, to seeing what he's done by folks being faithful and using what God has given to build up a lighthouse for his glory. Verse 3 reminds us this, that by him actions are weighed. Be careful how and why you seek to lend those gifts to the Lord. Amen. You know, make sure your heart is right first. We come into those vows sometimes wanting something, and we oftentimes begin with just that, right? We say, Mom, Dad, God, I'll be good. I'll even do this thing for you. I'll do that thing for you. And it goes back to what I was talking about, those vows. We promise we start off on the right foot. We need to make sure that our motives are pure and right. And we find the lasting legacy of blessing, especially if we drop down in chapter 2 to verses 18 through 21. Hannah enjoyed the blessed gift of her son yearly. Scripture here records that she had the opportunity to watch Samuel grow and be used of God. It says in verse 18, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, 'The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord.' And they went unto their own house." But I want you to notice verse 21. It says, "And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord." How many of us realize, when we think of Hannah, we think of her one son, Samuel. God blessed her in a great way with a legacy of 5 more children because she was faithful, because she was willing to give the blessing that God had given her, lend him back to the Lord. God, for her faithfulness, poured upon her a blessing greater than she could have ever asked for. She asked for one man child, Not only did she get three, she got two daughters as well. I mean, God really heard and blessed. She also cared for him as a steward. She cared for him by making him a new coat every year. And she took care of that blessing. Remember I talked about how sometimes we got that gift that we wanted, and we took care of it in the beginning, but it started to wane a little bit. No, she never lost sight of how great a blessing it was. And she took care of that blessing. She went back. She met the need of another through that blessing that God had given to her. Can we say the same with what we're doing, with what we're blessed with? Are we meeting the needs of others by what God's given us? She carried on her responsibility as a steward of the gift of God that he blessed her with. Remember how, as I said, we let those gifts become lost or forgotten? We must remain faithful to take the best possible care we can of what God has entrusted to us. And verse 19 shows that she and her family were first and foremost faithful in the house of God. They were back at the temple, praising God, sacrificing beyond, again, what they give. And one of the things that I see by Hannah's giving can also be mirrored in the giving of those Macedonian saints in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, can it? They asked for something they hadn't had, they didn't have, and they were willing to give it beyond what they didn't know it was coming in, but they said, God, we know that we'll meet the needs of others if you'll give it to us. And they trusted God to pour out his blessing upon them, and they were faithful to do that. Paul gives testimony to that they used what God had given them to bless the missionary, to bless the preacher of God's word. Hey, how are you going to use your blessings to bless not only the ministry, but to be a blessing in your own ministry, to reach out to the world? And as I said, as we conclude, again, verse 21, the testimony of a lasting legacy of faithfulness. We once again find that you cannot outgive God, okay? How many of us can stand as a testimony that I think we all could say that? Yep. We asked God to give us something, and he just gave us more than we ever could have asked for. I just said, Lord, I want to serve you in some little way. I started cutting the grass at church, and now he's sending me and my family, and we're halfway around the world to serve some of the greatest folks in the world, to bring the gospel, to serve our risen Savior as a missionary. I would have never thought. He opened up and showered down a blessing upon me I could never have asked for. Hannah prayed specifically for a son, and she so longed for. God answered that prayer. And when she demonstrated faithfulness by keeping the vow and trusting God by lending Samuel to him, she not only reaped a legacy on Samuel's behalf, but God gave her, again, those five more children. Won't you today commit your gifts and your blessings to God? Would you lend him everything you have? Would you give him everything that is most precious to you? Isn't that what God did for us? He gave us his most precious son, the greatest gift we could ever have. I got an email some years ago, and I wish I would have printed it. I can't find it. I don't know if the story's true. I like to think it is, and I've seen some things that kind of testify to it lately. It was a story of a mother who had a sick little boy. And she took this child to the doctor, and she wasn't sure what was wrong with him. He was becoming lethargic, and he had a lot of headaches. And through the testing, they found her only son had a brain tumor. And it was inoperable, and there was no really anything they could do. They said that your son, at some point in the future, is going to pass away. And she got bitter, and she got mad. She was torn up inside of God. How could you take away this gift, my only son? How could you take him away from me? What am I going to do? It's not fair, God. All these other people have all these children, and I have my one son. And as his days grew short, and he was growing weaker and weaker, and days and weeks spent by his bedside, agonizing over what she had seen, and watching him suffer through this tumor, they approached her and said, would you be willing to give his heart to another boy who needs a heart in the hospital? And she said, no, I can't do that. God, I won't do it. I can't give away my son like that. You're taking it from me, I'll keep him. But as time wore on, God started to work on her heart. And she realized the gift that would be given to give life to another boy would spare the grief of another parent, of parents from watching their son pass away, as her son was sure to do. And that time came, was it drawing near, and they said, your son is going to pass away soon. And she said, I've had a change of heart, and I want to give his heart to that other boy with one stipulation, that when he's able and ready, I'd like to hear my son's heart beat in the chest of that other boy. And her son passed away, and they took his heart, and they successfully implanted it, transplanted it in the heart of that other boy. And it took, and he grew, and he got better, and he was getting ready to leave the hospital, and the doctors called the lady and that mother, and she came, and she put the stethoscope on, and she was able to put her ear and hear the heart of her son, that gift that she had given, beating in the body of another boy. Folks, that's what God wants to do when we stand before him someday. He wants to say, I gave you a gift. I gave you the gift of my son, Jesus Christ. He suffered for you. He died for you. Symbolically, he wants to put his ear to our chest and hear the beat of his son's heart in our bodies, knowing that we accepted it into our lives, accepting that gift that he gave to us. And that gift goes out through the world through us, through our testimony. We have the power to share it with others so that they might be blessed. Don't hold your blessings. Lend them to God and watch him pour out upon you the blessings beyond measure. So let's pray, shall we? God, I thank you for the time to open your word, Lord. And I thank you for the gift of salvation, and the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for our sins, Lord. And I pray if there be anyone here today that in the moment says, I don't think if I stood before God that he'd be able to hear the heartbeat of his son Jesus in my own heart, in my own body. If that's you today and you'd like to get that settled, nobody's looking around, you need to take care of that, we can show you from the Bible. We could even pray with you right now. If that's you and say, I need to be saved, in the quietness of this moment, put up your hand. I'd be happy to pray with you. Pastor Ross would be happy to pray with you. Anyone who has the gift of salvation would like to share that with you. If that's you, please raise up your hand. Don't hesitate. Lord, I thank you that you've given us all the gift of salvation, as testified by no hands going up this morning. Lord, help us to use them, to invest them, to lend them to you. Lend our hearts and our blessings to you, God, that we might see you use them around the world to see men and women, boys and girls, lives changed for the glory of Christ, so that we might stand before you one day and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, for using what you've blessed us with, allowing you to use what you've blessed us with for your glory. God, I thank you for this church, and again, ask your blessings upon it. Thank you for this time, in Christ's name, amen.